And Michael, אני חושב, נוסע לאנגליה היום.
אה, כן?
זה מצב. אבל בינתיים נלמד. אוקיי. So we got up to Daf Yud. Yud Omen Aleph. And in the wide lines, the first word in the line is Rucham Yigvon. Those are the first lines. It says Rav Simi Bar Ukva. The Amri La Mar Ukva. Okay. Havashchiach Kamei Rav Shimon ben Pazi. So they were Talmidim of Rav Shimon ben Pazi. Dahava Mesader Agadita Kamei Rav Yeshua ben Levi. And there was someone in charge of bringing the Agadita in front of Rav Yeshua ben Levi. It's not exactly clear who had this responsibility, whether it was Rav Simi or whether it was Mar Ukva, but whoever it was, they brought the Agadat in front of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Amar Le. Now again, we don't know who it is because it's either Rav Simi or it could be Mar Ukva. But Amar Le, and they told Rav Shimon ben Pazi, Mai Dichsiv. What does the pasuk mean when David HaMelech says Barchi Nafshi Es Hashem V'chol Kravai Hashem Kodesho? If you recall, in the previous sugya, these psukim and Barchi Nafshi were brought down one after the other, the five transitional stages in David HaMelech's life, and one of the psukim is Barchi Nafshi Es Hashem V'chol Kravai Hashem Kodesho. And when Rav Simi asks Rav Shimon, my dechsiv, so the question is, what was bothering him about this pasuk? And let's assume for the time being that what bothered him was v'chol kravai. What does this mean, kravai? Amale. So Rav Shimon ben Pazi responded to Rav Simi, or to Mar Ukva, whoever it is, bo ure'e. Shelo kemidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas basar v'dam. What's unique about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in contrast to mortal man, midas basar v'dam, tsar tsura al gabe akosel, v'eino yochel lahatil ba ruach u'neshama kravayim u'bnei me'ayim. So man cannot create life. What he can do is he can draw something on a wall, but that doesn't have life to it. It doesn't have an innards, organs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu eino kein tsar tzura besoch tzura, and here we're referring to a fetus in its mother's womb. Matil baruach u'neshama kravayim u'bnei me'ayim. In other words, God can create this connection between Ruach on the one hand and Bnei'ayim on the other hand. We call it the Chibur between Neshama and Guf. So that's the greatness of God. And that's the power of creation, of creativity, that God could create life. So that's what we have so far. Vahainu di Omra Chana. And now the Gemara connects this to the prayer of Chana when she thanked Hashem because God granted her a son, Shmuel HaNavi, after she was in Akara for so long. And she declared, Ein Kadosh Kashem, there's no one as powerful as God, as holy as God. God somehow can take all the powers of nature and subdue them and dominate them. She was an Akara, but nevertheless, although she couldn't have children based on Teva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dominates Teva and changes nature in a way that she could have a child. Vahainu diomra Chana, that's the meaning of Chana's declaration of praise, Ein Kadosh Kashem, Ki ein biltecha, vi ein tsur kelokenu. My ain't sur kelokenu, ain't sayar kelokenu. Correct. Matil neshama b'toch haguf. So it's man could create physical objects, but he can't give life to them. Whereas God is the tzayar that gives life, gives neshama to something that has kirbayim, me'ayim, kravayim, all these innards. Now the Gemara wants to know, there's something in Chana's Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu which is not clear. Mai ki ein biltecha. You just finished saying ein kadosh kashem. What are you adding now by ein biltecha? And here the Gemara Alpi Torah Baal Peh is going to take the vowels under the biltecha and change them around. Omer Rav Yehuda Bar Menasya Al tikri ki ein biltecha ela ein levaloscha. Now the word bilui or levalot or bala is to wear out, exactly. What we call in English a shelf life. Everything that we have eventually gets worn and disintegrates. Shalom kemidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas basav adam, midas basav adam ma'ase yodav mevalin oso. As man doesn't exist longer than his creations. So the material creations of man will live even longer than the man who created those objects, those material objects. So man is subject to misa, and therefore Mizbala, right, means he himself disintegrates, he turns back into dust, but his creations can exist beyond his death. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mivala Masav. God creates physical objects, they will disintegrate way before when Hashem is still very much alive and well. So again, whereas man is subject to being Mizbala, God creates objects which are Mizbala, but Hashem himself is Kayam Li'olam. He exists for all eternity. Yeah, I think that means, again, I would use a little bit literary license here, Mivalin Oto, I think means they exist beyond him. Mm-hmm. That's not the literal translation of Mivalin Oto, but I think that's the deeper meaning here of this Gemara. Now, I'd like to learn Kuf Lamed Aleph in the Einaya. And once again, what we try to do here is to, in a sense, present Rav Kook's idea to the best that we can, and not necessarily to read every word. I mean, at certain points we have to read the text, but I think the thesis here, the main point of Kuf Lamed Aleph in this Gemara that we saw here about Rav Shimon ben Pazi, is that there's a fundamental difference between the relationship between two created objects or created beings and the relationship between God as the creator and his creation. When it comes to the relationship between two created beings, let's take, for example, man as basar v'dam, what can he... to what extent can he impact on another created being? What is his, man's relationship to the world around him? And the answer is, it's chitzoni, bilvat. It's only external. All of creation is made up of two parts. One part is the physical material part, that's called the external, the chitzoni, and the other part is the soul, or the source of life. And that's pnimi, that's something below the surface, and something more profound that cannot be seen with the naked eye. When man impacts on the universe, on the world around him, he man has no relationship to the soul, to the life force of any object. His relationship and his impact is only chitzoni. It's only on the outside. And therefore his impact on the world is very limited. And how does Rav Shimon ben Pazi express this idea symbolically? He says that man creates an image on a wall. Let's say he graves out, he chisels out something on the wall. But he can't touch on the ruach or the neshama, on the innards of that object that he created, that picture, or that tziur. Why? And here I want to read to you Rav Kook's language and ask you how you understand Rav Kook. He says, Shapnimius shall call nimtza mit atzemet bo atzmuso. Very heavy language. I think what he's saying is that the soul of every existing being withdraws into itself and doesn't allow it to be exposed or to come into any contact with any other object. So the pnimius is completely out of reach. That's why man cannot connect to the pnimius, to the koach achius, to the, shall we call it, the neshama or the nefesh of any object or any other being, because the innards are withdrawn, closed into themselves, locked inside. There's no access to them. And that's what Rav Kook means when he says, "V'lo lezulaso lishloch yadba." No one can touch the pnimius of another person. Now again, you might ask me, what about a love relationship? For example, a husband and a wife. That's all very profound, and we're not trying to in any way, belittle that. But even so, even within the context of marriage, no spouse can have an impact on the pnimius, on the neshama, on the nefesh. That's out of your control. You don't have dominion over the pnim, over the nefesh of anybody. Well, in contrast, what's the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his creatures? He says here the entire distinction between chitzonius and pnimius makes no sense whatsoever. The relationship of God as the creator, as the infinite divine being, who's molei es hakol, means that any existence, whether it's the pnim, meaning the nefesh existence of any created being, or the chutz, which means the material element, all this, both pnim and chutz, are a result of the shefa, of the impact of God, His will to generate everything that exists into existence. And therefore God has access and connection to the pnim, just as he has to the chutz. And not only that, the access that God has to engender life in the pnim sense is so much more profound and far-reaching than his relationship to the physical, material external world of chitzoniut. Because the chitzoniut ultimately exists as a result of its pnimiut, of that nefesh that engenders life. And that's what Rav Kook understands by the famous statement in the Zohar, Mimale kol almin v'sovev kol almin. So I think that sovev kol almin is the relationship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the chutz. But Mimale kol almin means that God fills every object in its pnim. And therefore the relationship, now Rav Kook derives a major conclusion from this whole presentation. And he says that when we look at the nefesh, of a human being and its relationship or her relationship to Hashem, that's a relationship of pnim. That's why David HaMelech declares, Barchi nafshi es Hashem, v'chol kravai Hashem kodesho. The relationship between the nefesh and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a relationship of pnimiyut. It's a very, very profound, close, intimate relationship. It's like what do we say by the Mishkan? It says, v'shachanti b'socha, that the Shekhinah is inside the nefesh. And therefore, David expresses the desire of his nefesh to find, to discover God. And where does he discover God? V'chol kravai. In the nefesh itself. Because the nefesh itself is the closest existing being, so to speak, created being, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And let's just fast forward to Kuf Lamed Beis for a moment. He says that Hainu di Omra Chana, that this is the mashal based on the interpretation of Chana's song of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Manasseh's mashal, that everything that man creates exists beyond him. Man dies, disintegrates, but his creations continue to exist. Ha-hora'ah ha-mitit. Okay, now I think the word hora'ah here, which we translate into English, but I think it's a poor translation in this context, as teaching. I think the word hora'ah here means the model. The excellent model, he says, in order to appreciate how our avoda, our yira, and our ava, what is the model for that? He heraot hayachas apnimi sheyesh ben Hashem yizbach liyitzurav. If we can only grasp this concept of the relationship between God and His creations on a pnimius level, that is what is going to engender Yirat Elokim. So if man contemplates the relationship between God and his nefesh as one of pnimiyut, pnimiyut means, you know, it's like that point of contact which is very intimate. It's the creation itself. Is then man, meaning his nefesh, has an insatiable and an infinite, constant, without any stop, desire to get closer and closer to Hashem and to imitate God and to follow in God's footsteps. And that means to be Rodef Darkei Hashem. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Manasseh, in his mashal, has the following picture. He's got three elements. There's the tzayar, there's the tziur, and there's the tzura. Now, clearly the tzayar and the tzura are two opposite ends of the two polar opposites. The tzayar is the creator. The tzura is the creation. But in the middle, he's got something called the tziur. And I think what Rav Kook means when he utilizes this word tziur is there's an abstract, so to speak, picture. It's not tangible. A vision, so to speak, of what the tzura will be at the end. The tzura is the ultimate object. And it is a physical manifestation of the tzura. But who creates that tzura, that abstract tzura? That's the tzayar. So in order to understand, to appreciate the greatness of God and His relationship to all His creatures, we need, says Rav Yehuda Bar Manasseh, to understand this mashal. this model. And in this model, we're going to talk about the tziur and the tzura. The tziur, again, is that abstract, you know, picture. And the tzura is as it mitmashesh, you know, as it materializes. Now, the tzura itself, which is the final product, gains its existence from the abstract intellect of the creator, of the tzayar. Hatsura behechrech ikar mitziusa hi misechel hatzayar benafsho vitziuro hapnimi. Now again, you got to be careful here because we're really describing Almighty God. And we're speaking about the fact that the process of creation involves a tziur, which is a result of, or is generated by, the abstract intellect of God, right? The infinite intellect of God. And God has a tziur, and that tziur is going to become a tzura. So Hashem here is the tzayar. He has he engenders a tzura, so to speak, in the vision of his mind. And that tzura and that tziur becomes a tzura. And all this is pnimius. All this relates to the creation of a nefesh. And it is impossible to have anything created that you cannot have a tzura of a nefesh unless there was a tzur that preceded it, that existed, that pre-existed. And the ultimate tzura is so closely related through this tzur to the tzayar that we have a kind of a dveikus relationship. Umikocha, as a result, or through the power of this dveikus, nirshama dugmasa al hagilyon. Now the gilyon here is the parchment on which the tzayar creates a tziur, a tzura, and it's only possible to envision an ultimate tziur on this gilyon, on this parchment, if you envision first, if you grant first a tzayar. So without the tzayar, you won't end up with any tziur. And this is true for all creation. Everything is yesh me'ayin. And what does yesh me'ayin mean in this context? It means the creator creates a tziur, and from that tziur, a tzura. It's a little bit similar to, if you pardon, this is a very banal kind of mushel, but when you bake cookies, right? So you have a cookie cutter. You have certain shapes and forms, and you pour the dough into it, right? So that's called yitziras tzura, and from the tziur, you get a tzura. Now this is going to establish a very fundamental principle of our faith. Miyisodei ha'emuna. And what is that? There is no physical being that is eternal. Right? Aristotle believed in the eternity of the universe, that all material beings, all material universe always existed. That cannot be accepted because our premise is that there's no such thing as a tzura without a tzir that came before it. The tzir was created by the yotzer. So therefore the logical progression, or shall we say, the chronological progression requires that there be a yotzer who creates a tzir and then finally a tzura. Behechech kadmu tziyuram vitzurasam. In order to have a tzura, our fundamental belief is there has to be first a tziur, and that tziur comes from mikoach Hashem Yisbrach as the tzayar. Ubeikar atzura pnimis hahi nimshach haroshem el hametzius. So from this tziur, you create a tzura. And therefore, according to our belief, the De Amitis, we can have no more perfect model and reliable model to understand this than Rav Shim ben Menasseh's model of the relationship between God as creator and all of his creations. The only model that we can give, the only symbolic metaphor, is going to be the tzayar and the tzura. The relationship of the tzayar creating a tzura, and according to Aristotle's false belief of the in the eternity of the universe, the only kind of relationship you could have is a poel el paolo. In other words, both God and the universe are, in Aristotle's belief, are simultaneous. They both date back eternally. So you can never have a relationship of tzayar and tzura, because tzayar and tzura implies that the tzayar pre-exists the tzura. You can't have a tzura without a tzayar. What is the ultimate impact or the repercussions of accepting Chas V'Shalom the Aristotelian belief in the eternity of the universe? He claims that if you accept Aristotle, then it's impossible for any created being to have this Yachas Pnimi that we've spoken about, the concept of Dveikus, the concept of finding God in my nefesh, the principle that my nefesh has an endless, infinite desire to come close to Hashem. All that which is called the Yachas HaPnimi to the creation, all that goes overboard. Why? Because according to this mistaken belief of Aristotle, fundamentally every physical being is just that. It's a physical being that exists without God, because again, the eternity of the universe means that all of the material universe existed eternally. And therefore, when you talk about what engenders existence, what life force gives life to every physical being, you can't talk about the Bore, and you can't talk about the Tzayar, because every physical being exists at the same time that the Tzayar, no later than that. And basically you've undermined not only our belief in creation, I mean that's simple, that's for sure you've undermined that, but even more than that, you've come to the mistaken conclusion that man and his soul can never really elevate itself or herself by recognizing the Creator, because in order to do so, you have to assume that there's a Creator. And we want to go into the nefesh, so to speak, and find God and the relationship to God in the nefesh. And therefore, what Chana said over here was, Ein kadosh kashem ki ein biltecha. And the kedusha of Hashem Yisbarach could be understood with a true belief that nothing else exists beyond, besides Him, with a capital H. All of existence has no independent existence. Everything that exists exists because God engenders that existence. And the Kedusha here of HaKadosh Baruch Hu reflects itself in that Yachas Pnimi, insofar as God creates every object and gives life force to every physical creature, that itself is the Yachas Pnimi, and that's called Ein Biltecha. Ein Biltecha means there's no other existing being besides God. There's no Tzura, there's no Chomer. God creates the Tzura, and from the Tzura, the Chomer. So everything that exists, even the most physical material object, is only possible, is only made possible because of this Koch Pnimi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu engenders the Nefesh into every physical object. Now, I would just make the following comment, and I hope I'm not misleading you. I think that Rav Kook here is very much influenced by the Bali Kabbalah. In Kabbalah, the fundamental idea of creation entails an ongoing force, right? Mechadish b'choyom tomid ma'aseh b'reishis, that God is constantly blowing life and engendering a life force into every physical being, you know, even a table. I mean, the problem here in the history of philosophy is that you've heard of Spinoza, and he took this to an extreme. He created a school of philosophy, which is called pantheism, in which the whole material universe is really just an extension of God himself, and God and nature is an equation. You know, he identified God and nature. It's very similar to Aristotelian philosophy in the sense of the eternity of the universe. So as much as we want to emphasize this yachas pnimi between God as a creation, as the creator, and the tzura of every single created being, and we want to say that yachas is a yachas pnimi, a koch pnimi, and the whole metzias of every tzura really is nothing more than this koch pnimi, we always have to be sensitive to the distinction between the tzayar and the tzura, between God and his creations. You know, those remain separate, independent entities. Alkein ein tzur kelokeinu shehu ke'erech tzura l'chlal ha-metzius. God is the tzura for everything that exists. Now again, not that God is the tzura, but God creates the tzura. And therefore, if we want to look at the entire world and its essence as a created creation, then we have to see it as being engendered by this tzura, and the tzura itself is created by the tzayar. Now, if you look on page 53, he says, "Ein biltecha." Is Ein Levaloscha. In other words, with regard to God, it's not shayach to talk about Bilui.
Maybe also the
Tziur. The Tziur itself is what?
Isn't Tziur the koach, the internal koach of Pnimi that drives the Tzura?
I guess you could say that. I mean, I understood the tziur as the abstract ideal. You know, I gave that mashal before of the, you know, of pouring the dough into a cast, so to speak. Let's just read this. Lefi asor mekadmus hachomer. According to Aristotle, ain't shayach lomar klal shakadosh baruch hu mevala masav. You can't say that God exists beyond his creations, because according to Aristotle, the Chomer and whatever engenders existence into the Chomer is independent of Almighty God, Chas V'Shalom. In other words, if we look at the Tziur in its totality, the entire universe, that's something that has eternal existence according to Aristotle. Therefore, the concept of Bilui, of being mevala masav, which means that ultimately physicality is, you know, disintegrates, that doesn't exist. It may be true for individual material objects in the universe, but not for the universe as a whole. According to this, the whole shevach of ein levaloscha, which means that just like man creates objects and those objects, you know, continue to exist, so too God creates objects and those God creates objects and those objects cease to exist. Well, from the perspective of Aristotle, all the objects in the universe have their own independent source of existence, because they're eternal, they always existed, they never did not exist, and therefore you can never say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues to exist, his existence extends beyond that of the material universe, because the material universe has its own independent source of existence. It was not created by God. But Lufia Emes, but in our fundamental principle of faith in Yahadus, we believe Ein Biltecha, which means there's nothing else that exists beyond HaKadosh Baruch. He quotes Poskim Yeshaya, I think, here, if I'm not mistaken. Hema, just 1 second, what number is this? Let me just see if I got the numbers right here. Oh, it's a Pasuk in Tillim, sorry. He says, Hema Yavdu Viata Tamod. You know, things will cease to exist, but you, God, will continue to exist. All of the universe is like a garment that ultimately disintegrates. They don't have any independent existence. They exist, meaning every created physical object, because of God's will that they exist. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mevala Masav. He will live beyond the material creations that he created, which will disintegrate. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Kadosh, right? Ein Kadosh Kelokeinu, in terms of his. And here Rav Kook goes back to an idea that he presented earlier today, that we saw today, and namely that God's relationship to the created world is not just, you know, that God impacts on their chitzonius, like, oh, I can break this table. No, God has a relationship to its pnimius, to that very source of life, to this object. And therefore, when we think about this, he says, you can't, Ein shayach klal legabei, erech chitzoni lanivraim, ki im erech hapnimi, mitzad musag etzlam umurgash lehem mishefa uritzono. Yeah.
Interpretation. It seems that if you go back to the Gemara, yeah. It says that a man does a tzio on the Kotel, but he can't just make that come to life. Right. Whereas a Kadosh Baruch Hu can actually make that tzio come to life.
Right.
He gives it an even more one, tzio betoch tzio, or tzio betoch tzura. So the body is mivale, but what drives the body? The tzio which is inside. Hashem's contact is only with the tzio, and therefore, and the tzio which is the nefesh or the neshama or whatever doesn't mivale. It doesn't. What mivale? The result of it, the next stage, which is actually contemplated by the tzio itself. That then mivale. That is sort of disintegrates. But there is really no contact, direct contact between the tzura and the tzaya.
Well, look, we tried to do the best we could. It's very, very profound. I mean, this is. Let's just go on in the Gemara, and then we'll look at the next paragraph because we didn't read the Gemara. Gemara says, "Omar lei." So Rav Simi now says, I wasn't asking you about the word kravai. Hachi kamino, what I was bothered by was hani chamisha barchi nafshi keneged mia moron David. No, it's David HaMelech 5 times repeats himself barchi nafshi es Hashem in Tillim. And what is the significance of these 5 barchi nafshis? Lo Amara, and this is Rav Shimon ben Pasi already giving an answer. Lo Amara, El Kineged Hakadosh Baruch Hu Kineged Neshama. Now, what Rav Shimon bar Manasseh is going to do here in the context of Tehillim, he's going to create a parallelism and a similarity between the Neshama and Hakadosh Baruch Hu in five different ways. The first, Ma Hakadosh Baruch Hu Malei Kol HaOlam Af Neshama Malei Es Kol HaGuf. And again, in the light of what we've seen here, what it means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu breathes life into the entire universe, and the Neshama breathes life into the entire body. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Roeh Veinu Nireh. Hashem is aware of everything that goes on, but nobody can see God. Af Neshama Roeh Veinu Nireh. She's aware of everything, but no one could see her. She's invisible. She's not physical. Number three, Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zanes Kol HaOlam Kulo. God is responsible for maintaining and sustaining the existence of everything in the world. Af Neshama Zana Es Kol HaGuf. The Neshama maintains the existence of the entire body. Now, I want to add 2 points here that I saw in the notes. Point number one, and this he bases himself on Rabbeinu Bechaye, that Ein Lecha Ever Gadol V'Katan B'Chol Evri Aguf She'Ein Shom Koach HaNeshama. Does the power of the Neshama to give life into the body is all-inclusive, every single limb of the body. And this is what David HaMelech meant when he said, Baruch Inafshi Es Hashem, V'chol Kravai Eshem Kodesho. That just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kedusha fulfills the entire world, so too the Koach HaNeshama fills the entire goof. That's point number one. And point number two is that the Neshama's ability to sustain the goof, Lazunet HaGuf, is not through food. The power of the Neshama to give life to the entire guf is a hashpa miziv tainug hasaga. As we're talking about some sort of abstract intellectual power of or force that engenders sustenance into the body. And the natural conclusion of that is that we could be able to live as Neshama and Guf without food. And that would be pretty cool. I mean, a lot of industry would go out of business. But he's saying that we find by Moshe Rabbeinu that he was 40 days and 40 nights up on the mountain without any food. And why? Because the Neshama is Mashpia existence and is Zanet HaGuf. You don't need any physical food. And he calls it a kal v'chomer. He says, if the guf, if a guf mamid es haneshama yidei mazon haguf, if the guf can sustain its existence through physical food, alachas kam v'kam sheyesh lenefesh koch lazunet haguf, how much more so that there's something called mazon hanefesh, and that spiritual muscle could certainly sustain the goof. And that's what David HaMelech means when he says, Baruch Hu Hashem Malachov, Baruch Hu Hashem Kol Tzvav, Baruch Hu Hashem Kol Masov, Shezonosom U'mamidom B'kocho, that Hashem sustains them, and not only that, the Neshama sustains the goof. Let's go on. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tahar Af Neshama Tahora. And again, even though we said that the Neshama enters into and fills every single last organ in the physical body, some of the organs that we have are not so clean. Nevertheless, the Neshama remains Tahora. And that's what David HaMelech means when he says, Baruch Inafshis Hashem Hashem Elokai Gadalta Miod Hod Vahadu Lavashta. Hod is something that's tahar. Something that's not tahar is not called hod. And this is the neshama that remains tahora, even though the neshama is memales kol aguf. That's the paradox. And finally, the last comparison between the neshama and the guf is ma kodesh baruch hu yoshev bechadrei chadarim af neshama yosheves bechadrei chadarim. Now, before we had roa v'eino nires. Is Eino Nires sounds identical to Yosheves Bechadre Chadarim. And he writes here again in the name of Rabbeinu Bechai, Harotza Lachar al Yediyas Hashem V'lamad al Hasagoso Yi Efshalo Ela Im Yikones Bechadre HaChochma Cheder B'toch Cheder Ashim Tze'enu. So we have to know about the existence of, or the possibility of Yediyas Hashem, but the only way we can get to Yediyas Hashem acquired is through Chadrei Chadarim, Cheder V'toch Cheder. And if a person wants to begin to understand the nature of his neshama, he'd have to, again, the neshama is in Chadrei Chadarim, he'd have to penetrate one room and then into another room, until finally he gets a perception of the neshama. So let's take a look now at number Kuf Lamed Gimel. He says the following. The entire universe and all within operates based on an intellectual program, a program of the Seichel, which is organized by the divine wisdom. And the laws of Chachma, of this divine wisdom, that determine the hanhaga, the operation, the natural operation of every system, of every guf. Right? So, Chukei HaChachma shal hanhagas kol marechas haguf kulam heim bekoch hanefesh v'kochoseha. And what we call kochos ha-nefesh, the powers of the soul, those really are the chukim of the divine wisdom, the laws that govern how everything will operate and function, and this controls the guf in a well-thought-out pattern. Lo nimtza chelek katan mi ma'amarach ha-gufnis shelo yikonis b'chesh ben ha-sidr ha-sichli. Every single little detail in all the physical systems that operate has its source in this Sidur Sichli, in the prearranged natural law, which is a creation of the divine intellect. Shema yinimtza hayamafriya anhagas hanefesh asichlis. And therefore he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a roa v'eino nireh, which means he's mashpia koach hachayim al azulas. Tzorich shiyia mashpia otzum. He has here a philosophical principle which I'm not sure if I understand why it's logically proven, but let me just formulate his principle. He says that it is impossible for the created being to comprehend. He says, what does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Eino Nireh? Right? Like the Pasuk says, Ki lo yirani od v'char. Why is that so? I mean, I would never have even dabbled with that question, but he actually takes this question on. He says, "Mashpia koach hachaim al azulas, tzorcheh mashpia otzum kol kach v'gavoa me'erech hamakabel, ad shelo yiv v'kocho lasigo." He says that in order for the mashpia to engender existence, to engender life, the mashpia has to be so lofty, so high, in relationship to the recipient of that shefa, that it's impossible for the recipient to have any sort of understanding of that koach hamashpia. That's the lo yirani od v'chayor. Here the Gemara says, "Eino nireh." And therefore, Masha Kadosh Baruch Hu Ro'aveinu Nir Ki Lo Yitochein Lios Musag. There's no way that we can grasp or comprehend HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Me'acha Shezui Ha'arocha Hadrusha L'meshach Shefa Chaim Me'makabal Erech HaMashpia. Because in this comparison between the Mashpia and the Mushpa, this is an infinite gap, so to speak, that separates the two. And therefore, there's no way that we can be masig, which I translate as comprehend, the erech, the essential value or existence of the mashpia, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's called eino nireh. What does it mean when we say af ha-neshama roa ve'eino nireis? The neshama, by its very nature, creates life. You have a physical body which is dead. The body has no life to it. It's the neshama that engenders life into the body. And he says, Nire roa v'eino nires. Once again, insofar as our goof is the mushpa, and the neshama is the mashpia, it's impossible for the mushpa to have any comprehension of the mashpia. It's impossible for the goof to have any comprehension of the neshama. Therefore, the neshama is raw v'eino nires. And not only that, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu zonas kol ha'olam, just like God sustains everything in the universe, the neshama sustains the entire body. What does that mean? He says that sustenance, which we call in Hebrew mazon, is in order to stave off destruction. He calls it Hashavas HaVeda. What does he mean by Hashavas HaVeda? He says that if left to its own, man would sort of self-destruct. He needs mazon. He needs some sort of positive force to engender life. Otherwise, Hayu Kol Kachasim Kolim, they would all disintegrate. So the mazon comes to give man a renewal on life, a renewed life force. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mashpia Shefa Kimo Metzius, like mazon, God sends down this Shefa from above, which sustains the entire universe and everything that's created, everything that exists. And in that sense, that Hashpa of Hashem, that shefa is called mazon. Ki ein chiyuv las modas hametzius ki im bechidush shifo uritzono. Right, there's nothing that forces the existing world to continue to exist. The entire existence of the world is contingent upon the ratzon of Hashem, the will of God, to continue to engender existence. And here he quotes from the Midrashim that li osei orim gedolim apostle ketuvim ki liolam chazdo. And notice that the pasuk is formulated in the present tense, not in the past tense that God created the orim gedolim, but rather in the present tense. Shemora al shemachadish betuva b'chol yom tamid ma'aseh b'reishis. The Yetzira is not in the past. When God created the Urim Gedolim, that's not something that happened X amount of years ago, but rather it's happening right now, as we speak. And therefore, Hine kochos haguf imayu nerochim rak bi'erech mechune poelet b'kocha muchan hayu ovdim v'nilim rak sh'aneshama b'kocha atzmi mechadeshes HaKochos HaNilim U'mosif Ola Ometz Chadash. What does it mean that the neshama is mezina es haguf? It means that if left to its own, the guf would disintegrate. There's got to be a powerful force that engenders it on an ongoing basis life into this object. The neshama is what staves off the process of terminating life in a physical object, and therefore it sustains the goof. And what does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Torah and the Neshama is Tahora? Horu kan she'ein b'nefesh ha'adam shum koach rali atzmo. In other words, inherently, essentially, the nefesh is pure and tar, without any sort of evil in it. Where do we? Why is man therefore so? What word do I want to use? He's so involved in evil. He's so connected to evil. He says, "This is a result of ovi haguf gasuso." The goof itself is gas, and the coarseness of the goof is what engenders evil. But lo tiflo shanefesh asich haskol asa lios osa im kochos es tuva muchan. So this reality of the existence of evil is not a result of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's being mashpia evil, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mashpia tahara, but rather it is engendered, it's a result of what he calls the gases of the goof. And that has to be understood. Where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chadri chadorim? Where is the Nisham b'chadri chadorim? Hashem Yisbarach,
you would think that God, when he reveals himself, it's no longer b'chadri chadorim. He says no. Ki im al yidei ma'arocha shleimus shel sibos musovim.
God's revelation is through an entire system of cause and effect, creating all sorts of repercussions. And the action or the activity of God is b'chadri chadorim. We have to open our eyes in order to see how God impacts as the mesovev, as the cause of life in this universe. Asiyas haktanas yu totzos lesivos gedolos. All right, let's see if we can fast forward to Kuf Lamed Vav, if you still have Koach. Again, this is now what we're going to do is we're going to read the Gemara of Rav Hemnuna. Mai Dichsiv. Okay, now we're going to learn the sugya of Chizkiyo HaMelech. Mai Dichsiv Mike HaChacham Umi Odea Pesher Davar. What was Shlomo Melch trying to convey here? And the emphasis here is on Pesha, Miloshim Pshara. Mika HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sheyodea Lasos Pshara Ben Shnei Tzadikim and Chizkiyo Yishayo. In other words, Chizkiyo wanted Yishayo to come to him, and Yishayo wanted Chizkiyo the king to come to him. And the question is, who is right over here? And what were they arguing about? You know, was this all about COVID, that Chizkiyahu was the melech, so the Navi has to come to the melech? No. Yishayahu says, no, you have to come to me. So Chizkiyahu amar leisei Yishayahu gabai, I have a precedent to prove that the Navi has to come to the king. Da'achi ashkan b'elio di'ozel gabai achav. Elio actually belittled himself, so to speak, to go and show up in front of Achav. This is at the time when there's a drought in Eretz Yisrael, and Eliyahu HaNavi says, I'm going to keep the water from coming down, and then when I decide, you know, it's the right time, I'll ask Hashem to bring down the water. And even in the context of that episode, we find that Eliyahu actually showed up in front of Achav. Yishayo declared, "Leisei." So again, the Melech, meaning Chizkiyo, said, "You, Yishayo, you have to come to me." And I prove this from Eliyahu, who went to see Achav. What was the counter argument of Yishayo? He says, "No." Just one second. Right, that Eliyahu came to see Achav. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeshayo says, no, it's not that I, the Navi, have to come to you, the king. Leisei Chizkiyo Gabei, you, the king, have to come to me. Dochi Ashkan V'Yehoram Ben Achav, the Ozal L'Gabei Elisha, that it was the king who came to seek the Navi. And this we find in the case of Yehoram Ben Achav vis-a-vis Elisha Navi. Just one second. Dochi Ashkan B'Yehoram Ben Achav D'Oza L'Gabei Elisha. Now, Yehoram Ben Achav was the king of Israel. Yehoshaphat was the king of Yehuda. And the king of Edom went out to war against Moab. Vinosu lo mayim. And as a result, at the end of the day, they were left without water. Ukshanoda lahem shahanovi Elisha motzi b'neim bo'elov hamalachim shiodim esa shayikra osam. So there was a fear that maybe the king of Edom would attack Israel, and when Elisha showed up, the kings came to seek out Elisha, and not the other way, not the reverse. Now here I want to quote to you a footnote in the name of the Shemin Rokeh. Nechleku Chizkiyah v'Yishayo b'inyan halacha. There was a lamdasha argument. The Gemara says in a number of places, Melech Shemochal Kvodo Ein Kvodo Mochal. Is therefore Chizkiyahu is right, and he says, I don't go to see you, Yeshayo, because I can't even be Mochal on my covenant. Yeshayo, on the other hand, holds that when it says Melech Shemochal Kvodo Ein Kvodo Mochal, that's only with regard to Malchus, or anything that's relevant to the Malchus. But if it's something personal in the life of the king, is then the king can be mochel. It's not a matter of state. If it's a matter of state, an official, meeting, that then ein kvodo mochel. But if it's something prati, it's something personal, then the king has to come to the Navi. So again, let's just review. According to Chizkiyahu HaMelech, I can't be mochel on my covenant. Yeshayo HaNavi says to him, wait a minute, that halacha, you can't be mochel on your covenant, only applies with regard to matters of state. But with regard to personal issues, then even a melech can be mochel on his covenant. And that was the counter-argument of Yeshayo HaNavi. So God's going to make a pshara here. And what's the divine pshara? Right. Chizkiyahu is going to take... Right. Chizkiyahu is going to take ill. He'll be lying in his bed. And Masa Kadosh Baruch Hu Hevi Yisurin Al Chizkiyahu. The Omer Lo, and then God commands Yishayo, Lech Uvakeres HaCholot. Let's fulfill the mitzvah of Bikur Cholot. And we'll have to see how this is a pshar. Shnevar b'yom lahem cholach chizkiyahu lamus v'yavoi lov Yishayo ben Amoz hanavi v'yomer lov kolamar Hashem tzav lebeisecha ki meis hatov lo sichye. This is the whole story that Chizkiyahu did not have any children. He wasn't osik v'piri v'rivya, and therefore he was condemned to death, and the whole story that ensues. Now, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to tell Yishayo that he's mitzuva in the mitzvah of Bikur Cholot? So the Sifsei Chachamim gives the following answer, Lom Dushayans. He says that if a person is Osek B'Torah, then he's Potem in a mitzvah, Osek mitzvah, Potem in a mitzvah. And not only that, Talmud Torah is a greater mitzvah than any other mitzvah, Shkula Kenegan Kula. So the Chiddush is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Yeshayo to stop his learning in order to be Mavaka Achola. Now, what was the argument here between Chizkiyo and Yeshayo on a philosophical level? On a halachic level, we have one mahal. So for that, we want to look at the Ein Haya, number Kuf Lamed Vav, on page 54. He says the following: Koach HaNevuah, the power of Nevuah, has as its goal to guarantee the eternal existence of the people of Israel. This is what he calls Chayim Nitzchiyah. And the Navi is there to teach the people and guide them in order that they, as a nation, could achieve eternity. So really what the Navi is interested in is not the present so much, but the future. Because the Navi is in charge and is responsible for guaranteeing the ultimate existence in the future down the line of the Jewish people. Melucha, Melech, is just the opposite. What is the focus of a king and his goal? La'asher et chayei ha'ilumiyim bahoveh. Now, that's what the king has to be concerned with. Now, paradoxically, he says there are things that you do which can strengthen the present, l'shah, but they have the opposite effect long term. They're going to wear you out and form a barrier for kiyum latid, for the future. And lehepach, paradoxically, you have things, many things, which will temporarily, immediately weaken a person, but nevertheless, in the long haul, for the future down the line, they add ozugvura. He says the following: if a person goes too far to an extreme, either too much focused on the future and preparing for the future and neglecting the present, or in the opposite scenario, too much emphasis on the present, neglecting the future, that's kashem v'mazekes. That's very, very detrimental. If a person puts all his worries into how will I exist down the line, what he calls kiyum atidi, and he doesn't pay any attention to the hoveh, so for that, again, just paraphrasing a pasuk in Tehillim, oz yavozu zorim yagiu v'yipol benoflim, we will probably lose the battle because we're not paying attention to the immediate urgent cause and need. On the other hand, he says, if a person would put all his focus and energy on the present in order to strengthen on a temporary transient basis, then when this generation passes on and the next generation takes over, that second generation is going to fall apart because there was nothing done to prepare the nation for the future down the line. However, we are the chosen people, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us with divine providence in a very unique way. Hine Hashem Yisbarach HaShomer Yisrael Heichin Tomid Sibos Tedirios Sheyishkelu Bad Bevad Koch HaMakayim HaNitzri Koch HaKayim HaZmani. God constantly presents challenges to the people of Israel to try to do this juggling act and balance between the emphasis on the future and the immediate urgent need of the present. The ofen shelo yimadu tzadei uma v'tamod l'dar dorim. This is God's love for the people of Israel. And what he does is he makes sure, as a Shomer Yisrael, that we are constantly aware of the needs of the moment and the needs of the future down the line. So again, Yeshayahu HaNavi is worried about the asid, about the future, whereas Chizkiyahu HaMelech is worried about the present, and the pressing need of the hove. Yeshayo charad pen bibichos koach hamlucha al koach hanavu. What's going to be the long-term repercussions if I, Yeshayo, have to come to the king? The people of Israel, although they're doing the right thing now for the moment, but they are neglecting the future. And that's not good. Chizkiyahu, on the other hand, was worried that if the people see that the power of Melucha is weak, you know, there's more emphasis on the status of the Navi insofar as he's meant to guarantee the future. Is Yasur Chizko Hamedini. He will lose his strong arm, you know, of domination over his people, of a rulership. Why? Because look, he goes to the Navi. And that's going to have Totzot Ra'ot L'matzava Musari. Shal Torah V'yus Hashem Yidus Tovos. Because this is the job of the Melech, to strengthen the people and to encourage them to relive, to live that life of Yirah, of the fear of God. So we now have a real problem over here, because we're in a lopsided situation either way. If we take the approach of the Navi, we're going to lose out now. If on the other hand we take the approach of the Melech, then who knows what's going to be down the line. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yitil Pshar Beinim. What was God's compromise? She'ein Hashkachos Al Tzofia. The eye of divine providence is always upon the people of Israel. Lefi Matzavim Shal Yisro Beisahi. So God could shots up. He could evaluate what are the needs of the Jewish people at that moment. Hadov Muchach She'yesh Shnei Elu HaKoch HaShkul. God has to find an exact equation, so to speak, between these two powers, one of Nevuah and one of Malchus. Hainu, Shalafi Hamar'eh Chitzoni Tiyah Malchus Romes. He says, it will look as if, to the naked eye, you know, the spectator will come to the conclusion that Malchus is in the driver's seat. And therefore, Yeshayahu HaNavi has to come to see the Melech, to see Chizkiyahu HaMelech. And this will strengthen the power of the nation now. However, if somebody will look below the surface, he will see that in truth, the one who's suffering here is not Yeshayahu, because Nebuchadnezzar has to come to visit Chizkiyahu, but rather Chizkiyahu is the one who's Nichna. He's in very bad straits. And why? Because he's suffering so much. Hevi Yisur Malchizkia. Hare Begolu Yehoysa Yadam Lucha Romamosh Hare Yishayu Abia Halach Eitzel Yishayu. But Betochen Sholdvar Misaval, who's really suffering for the cave? Who's the real Nidche? It's the Melech himself. The Horos Sholofa'amim Chovalach Nia. Hashkafaz manit, in order to guarantee the strength of the nation down the line, that's what he calls Tuda Nitzchit. Vadomer makbil ma'od elatzorach lanhaga ki mitzarach itzori shalod v'tavosov achushios tzorachu v'mishra azov v'nederes v'koach v'yamalucha al mitzarach pnivi shalodom sikla yoshesh yosin tzorach, he needs the Navi and the hanhag of the Navi, Yeshli Son Lamelech al Navi Banagog Chitzonis, al Beshift of Veso, is then we need the hanhag of the Nevuah, of the Navi. Alright, so we'll stop here. I mean, again, Yosef Mimash and Kosuf Khan, Yosef Mimash Omru, the Lamadu Kosuf Khan, you know, but we'll take it here. And so B'li Neder on Thursday, we'll have the opportunity to finish this up and to learn a little bit of Parshas Chukos. Yeah. I like to start 11:15 so I can fit in a Chumash Parsha Shir at 12:15. Bezrat Hashem. Yeah, but we know that we have to sit because.